From high atop the interwebs in the palatial Pride 48 studios, it's time for Dubious Intent to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever the case may be, we're glad that you have joined us today. Dubious Intent is brought to you by CheapLubes.com. CheapLubes.com is the one-stop shop on the internet for all of your personal lubrication needs. And, you know, they have free two-day shipping now with the checkout code DIPLUS, so it's just in time should you be happening to go to Vegas to get your order in for some cheap lubes today. Check them out on the internet. And don't forget to use the checkout code DIPLUS. Welcome to DIPLUS. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined by the lovely and talented Adam Burns from Arkansas. Hello, Adam.
Well, hello.
Daniel. Well, hello.
Wait, I gotta do this right. So here I go. Well, hello, plussies.
Plussies?
I'm your host, Adam Burns. We are the number one GLBT that comes to you from Arkansas and South Carolina and has one a slightly older gay gentleman and one a little bit younger gay gentleman who are both sitting in beige offices. If you do that search on iTunes, we would come up as the number one. So you have to
do that. Actually, this isn't beige. It's just that they're the monitor lights the room, so it just looks beige.
Okay, so what I'm doing here is...
Yes, what are you doing? I am very curious as to what it is you're doing.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. And I want to preface this by saying that I love this show. I love this podcast. I love these people. But I just find it really amusing because I've been catching up on some shows because I was kind of out of the gay podcast loop for a while. And Cocktails and Cream Puffs, I love them. I love them, actually.
So you would consider yourself then a creamy?
I hate that, but yeah, probably. But anyway, well, Mark, he drinks or eats or something, and for some reason it turns me on. I have no idea why.
So it turns you on that he eats?
I don't know, but he makes some kind of lip noises while they're recording that for some reason it sounds like he's sucking a dick or something. But anyway, I love their show. They're really funny. They have like a catchy theme song that I guess they sang themselves.
I detect a butt coming here.
Okay.
But
well, because Joey probably listens to us, and I don't want him to hate my guts. But I'm just gonna say,
too late.
So every show, and I don't know how long they've been doing this, but he's like, we are the number 15 GLBT podcast on iTunes, or we are the number 16 or whatever. And if anybody knows, and like I'm saying, they are a great show, but anyone who listens to podcasts and goes to iTunes knows that you can skew the search any way that you want to.
Yes.
To come up any number. I did several different searches and various podcasts came up as 1, 5, 10, 15. In fact, some podcasts were listed twice in the list. So I just find it amusing.
So it would be an accurate statement to say that we are the number one podcast when you search for Dubious Intent Plus on iTunes.
That is correct. But I mean, so now he started saying, you know, we are the number one GLBT podcast in Buffalo. So I just think from now on, we'll just have to say something like the number one GLBT coming to you from Arkansas and South Carolina at the same time. You know, I mean, we can skew it any way we want to, and we can be number one or number 15.
But do we really need to be?
No, we don't need to be, but it just amuses me. That's all.
Because, you know, I've already got Wes mad at me about other things. So if I start saying that, oh, this is the number one show, and then he's going to, you know, Wes is going to.
And again,
grumpy.
I just want to say I love Joey. I think Mark...
Speaking of Joey, I just now, right this very moment, got into my email box a missive from Mr. Joey, which is the link to the Pride 48 t-shirts.
Oh, he finally got the link. Last night, he was all like, oh, you guys have to make a decision like now because I'm going to put this link up. And I thought he was going to put the link up like... Right
that was
then,
two nights ago.
And that was,
yeah.
Huh, was it 2 nights ago?
Yeah, that was 2 nights
Man,
ago.
Man, he was all urgent about it, and then all of a sudden, like, it took 2 days to get the link up. So I just, once again, I want to say everyone should go listen to their show, cocktailsandcreampuffs.com.
Where would one find that fine program?
Well, it'd be the number 15 LGBT podcast on iTunes.
If somebody didn't use the shitty iTunes, where would they find their fine program?
Cocktails and Cream Pies. I mean, it's cocktailsandcreampuffs.com, or you could just go right over to pride48.com, and I'm sure there's some mention of them somewhere over there.
there's no.
And they're gonna be streaming live on the Pride 48 thing. So I love them all. I think they sound incredibly gay, but I love them. I love gay people. So that's fine.
Well,
and they have a like Australian chick on there. And I mean, who doesn't they have an Australian, love an Australian chick? Yes. Wendy.
Is the Australian chick coming to Vegas?
I think she is, yeah. Wendy the Naughty Nanny, I believe.
Oh, well, there you go.
And I'm not caught. I mean, I've only listened to like the, I was out of the loop for like a year, and I couldn't go back a full year listening to all these shows, so I went back like 20 episodes. So I don't know when she actually made her grand entrance, but they refer to her as the Naughty Nanny. Anyway.
Well, looking here at the big Vegas schedule, you know, Cocktails and Cream Puffs will be immediately after us in Vegas.
So we'll show them how it's done.
No. We need to be nice to them because they might kick our ass.
They could say anything they wanted to about us. That's true.
They'll get the last word in. So it's not like we could come back and rebut them, you know.
Well, I'm making a guest appearance on Big Gay Sex Show, and then I'm sure you're doing the wrap-up show. So, I mean, you, Daniel, you always get the last word.
Actually, that's true. I'll be on the wrap-up show.
Yeah, I've never known you not to get the last word in anything. I mean, unless you just didn't want to have the last word. If you want the last word, you get the last word.
I do, but that's, you know, that's just because I'm an asshole. We've already established this. I'm an asshole. So, Adam, what's been going on in your week?
Oh, my God. Let's
get away
from
this highly uncomfortable top. Well, I was trying. That was an emergency segue.
Oh, whatever. They love me. They're not going to be mad at me. I just think it's
no, they're going to be pissed off. And now we're going to have to deal with that.
Are you saying I need to edit that part out?
I'm just saying we may need to have some kind of security or something to escort us out of the studio.
I'm just saying it's a very good show. Everyone should go listen to it. I just find that amusing. So very good segue again, Mr. Brewer. I appreciate that. So I had told everyone on the last show that I think I said it on the show, did I? Or on group somewhere I said that I had a date. And
yes, you said you were going to date a twink chorus director. And that was on this last show. I'm glad that you listen to our own show.
I do. I edit it. But right. That's how closely I listen to it. I'm listening more for like background jet engine noise than the actual words.
Yeah,
but
my chair just made a background noise. Sorry about that.
So anyway, I was supposed to go on a date with a guy. He stood me up. I mean, he just stopped talking. And I don't know why. I had never met the guy, but whatever. But I had this other guy that I have met once before who asked me if I wanted to come over on Saturday. And I was like, well, why not? You know, I just got stood up. So I drove over to see this guy. Well, he told me that he had recently gotten a roommate. So I get there and he reveals that his roommate is his grandmother.
And his grandmother said, can I kiss you?
No, she wasn't there. But it's funny. He's like, she's crazy and she's out playing poker with her friends. But you can only stay until you have to leave before she gets back. But anyway, all like, and I hadn't learned a whole lot about this guy, but he's actually really cute. And I mean, he's talented musically and he's smart and all that. But it was just funny because he's so queenie. Like, he's into antiques. He has organs all over the house that he owns, like all of this stuff. That kind of remind me of someone, actually. The only part that wasn't similar there was the bitchiness. But anyway, so, you know, we talk and everything and do whatever. I'm not going to mention sex because I'm not supposed to mention sex on this
whatever.
Show.
Whatever. I defended you on the last show. You can talk about sex.
Anyway, but we did our thing.
By did your thing, do you mean had sex?
He bottomed for me. I topped.
Okay.
It was great.
Good.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
To infinity and beyond. Yeah,
okay.
Right.
So afterwards, I just think it was amusing because he's very queenie, whatever. He has a collection of antique record players. We had a discussion about the theater scene in Branson because he has played for shows there. And then he, you know, he sits on the couch while he's talking to me after having played honky tonk piano for me. And yes. Then commences to eat cantaloupe.
Cantaloupe.
Yeah. He goes to the refrigerator and gets out a bowl of cantaloupe. You know,
now was this before or after you did your thing?
This was after the sex.
After the sex? Well, he was, you know, clearly he needed some vitamins and nutrients.
And then some kind of cobbler. I don't know. He was just eating weird stuff. Anyway, it went
Wait,
well.
Cobbler's not weird.
No, but I mean, he just kept going to the refrigerator and getting stuff out. You know, he went and grabbed cantaloupe and then came back with,
the
you know,
poor
cobbler.
Poor guy probably starved himself all day long so that he would be nice and thin for you. And now you're begrudging him eating his food.
No, but he's going to get me in to see Andy Williams for free. And I kind of like Andy Williams. I don't even know if you know who that is, but.
Andy Williams used to do a Christmas special.
He still does. He has a Branson show, and he does a big Christmas thing from like November through the end of December or whatever. And I want to go see
Andy
that.
Andy Williams, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and he sings, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. If you've ever heard that on the radio or whatever, it's probably
Andy Williams. So he's in that. Oh, this will piss people off, but he's in that whole category of bad singers that
I like
used to be
his
crazy
voice.
About. No, because there's people like Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, and I'm assuming Andy Williams, we'll just throw him into this category if he did that.
Yeah, he is a crooner.
Wonderful time.
Is what you would
He's
call
He's a crooner, but it's they sing in a ridiculously narrow vocal range. They have no chops to them whatsoever. They have no range to their voice whatsoever. And people are gaga about them, but if you really listen to it, half the time they're out of tune. And it's just,
Well, maybe he auto-tunes his show now. That's beside the point. I had a good time. It was fun. He just had a little bit of quirkiness, but it's okay. I don't mind quirkiness, and we'll probably go out again, because I told him we should actually go out on an actual date, not just going over to, like...
Right. Well, you should just wait until the next time that his grandma's out on a gambling
right,
bender,
when
and
she's out.
You can go over there.
And it's funny, because he lives on this dirt road that, like, I really needed, like, a big SUV to get to him, and then... You know, he is in like this cellular dead spot. So I was trying to find his house. And right when I would get to about where it was, my cell phone signal would go down to zero. And so I couldn't call him and say, like, you know, where do I go? I was thinking about dating. And there's this new show. So I used to live in Dallas. And as
really,
everyone
I did,
knows,
I did,
yes, I used to live in Dallas. And
I don't hate
anyone, but I hate the attitude in Dallas that a lot of people have. That's gay, straight, everybody. Well, they have a new show on Bravo that specifically is focusing on the most eligible in Dallas and their dating experiences. And there's gay, there's straight, there's men, there's women, but it's these elite Dallas, you know, eligible,
so like the
whatever,
the most eligible Boston Terrier in Dallas.
Something like that.
Watch as he rounds up some bitches.
But it's just funny, because I've been thinking about dating and whether or not I was going to date or whatever recently. So I want to play some clips from a few of these people so you guys can get an idea of, you know, the kind of quality people that we have in Dallas. Of course, I'm not there anymore, but here we go.
Very skeptical about how Granny the matchmaker is going to set me up. It is a major turnoff.
Granny?
My date is 5'7". It's like pairing Andre the Giant up to a little midget. I have never seen a redheaded Mexican before in my life.
Right.
Holy. She set me up with an endangered species. Like, get me the f*** out of here. Screw this matchmaking crap. I could basically do better on my own, hanging out in a park at night when it's dark.
Very dark.
So,
very dark,
so
sir.
That's Drew. He's the token fag on the show. And I mean, he's not even that cute, first of all. And I mean, he goes on this date with this guy who I think is perfectly cute. First of all, I'm 5'7", fucker. There is nothing wrong with being 5'7". But
and how tall is the stand in the park in the middle of the night guy?
He's like 6'10" or some shit. I don't know. He's tall.
Okay, good.
He's over 6 foot. But it doesn't matter. He was just being so picky and like whiny and like, you know, and screw this and everything. And then we get to the women. So I'm going to play a couple of the women here.
But I'm not going to settle. Who I want to date has to meet certain criteria. Not that there's a checklist, but he's tall. He's like JFK Jr. kind of hair. He's probably really funny. He's from a Southern family. He probably left Texas for a little bit and like went to school and like is coming back because this is like where he wants his family to be. He plays golf probably and wears like those little polos and he has like his, like the golf club that he plays at.
Oh my God.
He has a globe in his office that like his mentor probably gave him. He wears boots. Like he can dress up and wear like a designer suit.
So, I mean, like
she's describing George Bush.
Well, yeah, but I mean, she has, are all women like this? Do they all have like this big long list of things in their head?
Yes. All women are exactly like that.
Well, I don't want to stereotype people. I'm asking you a question. I don't know. I don't date women.
I don't date women either, okay. So I don't know.
And this is, that was Courtney. This is Tara. She is your typical bleach blonde. I don't want to be stereotypical, but you know, this is what she is.
You don't want to be stereotypical, but she is a stereotypical.
I've been engaged 4 times. The first one doesn't even count. I just call him sweetie. I am a quintessential Dallas girl. Blonde hair, blue eyes, big boobs. That's what you think of Dallas, and that's kind of me. If a guy came to pick me up and didn't open my car door, I wouldn't leave with him. Why would I waste my time? I could be out with my girlfriend.
You have to wonder how much of this is real and how much of this is there's a camera crew on them, and so they're trying to,
Well, but you've just got to look at, I mean, they just look bratty. I mean, they picked like rich, spoiled, like, you know,
well,
I work for mommy and daddy.
Of course they did, because that's,
you know.
Otherwise, it would be a really boring show.
And so here is a list of attributes that a guy has to meet for these women here.
So what I'm going to have to do is start implementing like all my rules.
Tell my mom about the rules.
Tell me about your rules. Like, don't ever go on a date with a guy if he asks you out after Tuesday for a Saturday night. Always be the first one to hang up on the phone.
I have visions of the perfect guy for Tara.
He wears a power suit. It's not flat front pants. They're pleated pants. He does a pocket square, but it's not like loud. It's not floral.
Anyway, that's enough of that. So that's the same Courtney chick. She's now telling us what kind of guy that Tara needs to. But anyway, it's just they're all bitches. I mean, it's just like.
But.
Yes, Dallas people are that way. I mean, not to be stereotypical, but
yes,
that is very Dallas.
The point is they may have interviewed thousands of people for this show. And of course, they're going to pick the ones that are the biggest train wrecks because that's what people want to see.
But for anybody who wants to date me, I don't have a list of rules like that. I am a down-to-earth gentleman.
I'm Adam. He has to be young. He has to be really, really thin. He cannot be any taller than me. And he's got to be a
twink. You ran out of music.
I did, because your list is extensive.
Whatever. But, you know, there's even a book. Like, there's a book that was written called The Rules for Women. And it was, you know, it was stuff like, it's a fantasy relationship unless a man asks you out. If you're in a long distance relationship, he must visit you at least 3 times before you visit him.
Wait, can we say that? Can we say that more archaic? He must thrice visit you before you unchaste yourself.
When considering whether to use personal ads or other dating services, you should place the ad and let men respond to you. In an office romance, do not email him back every time. He emails unless it is business related. And then there are others like, don't call back every time. You know, it's all this stupid crap. I found a actual rules for gay people to follow.
Yes.
So like, here's one, the IKEA rule. When looking, that is such small print. Let's see if I can increase that. When looking at guys, always remember
it's
that
because you're old and you can't
this
read.
Monitor's like 10 feet away from me. Mm-hmm. When looking at guys, remember it's kind of like going to IKEA. Everything looks okay from the outside, but there is frequently a lot of press board and polyester involved inside. A guy's perspective on relative attractiveness is as follows. If he's a 4, he thinks he's a 6, and he is sure he deserves to be with nothing less than an 8. But anyway, all these rules, whatever. I'm done. That's it. So I've got to find the list of rules that's right for me so that I'm, because I guess I'm going to be dating. I'm going to try again.
Right.
I know I said I wasn't, but it's not going to be with any of those Dallas bitches. I'll tell you that.
Well, you don't live in Dallas anymore.
Well, that's good. I'm glad I live here with all the quote-unquote straight people who are not.
Well, you know, there are no rules. And for people that have lists and have rules, it's they're just destined to go around being, single, whatever. Which is fine if that's what you want to be, is single. But the thing that annoys me the most are single people who complain about being single and then they have an excuse for everything. So it's like, well, what about so-and-so? Oh, no, he ate with his mouth open. Oh, what about so-and-so? Oh, no, he picked his nose once in public. What about so-and-so? Oh, no, he wears green socks. And it's just like they have all these ridiculous rules and it's all right. Unless you're going to pay someone to be your companion, having a partner is all about compromise. And so there are a lot of things that my husband, my darling husband of 8 years, does that drive me batshit crazy. And there's a bunch of shit that I do that drives him batshit crazy.
I cannot imagine you ever doing anything that would drive anyone crazy.
Right. Right, exactly. But overall, though, we talk about these things and we make compromises and we, and that's what a relationship is. It is compromise. If you're unwilling to make any kind of compromise, then you're not going to be in a relationship, period. That's not how it works.
Well, anyway, that's all I have to say about that. I'm just saying that I don't have all those kind of rules and I'm a very nice guy. So if anyone wants to date me, I'm here. That's right. I've got to say about it.
We'll just put you in.
Please fill out the survey over with my questionnaire, right. And go I will rate the, you on a scale of 1 to 10 and then get back to you.
I have no way to segue into this next piece. None whatsoever.
Wait, we can just do, okay.
It's Anderson.
He finds me very funny. Okay.
It's Anderson Cooper.
What about now, would he be the
on,
when future?
Is Anderson on your list?
Is he on my list? Yeah, I'd date Anderson.
But does he meet your... See, that's how you can tell whether your list is realistic or not. Because if you do have a list, which A, is stupid, but if you do have a list, and yes, I am aware of the fact that my air conditioner just cut on, but we're in that really weird time right now where we're transitioning seasons, so it's hot in here because the air hasn't been moving. God, now you made me forget where I was. Oh, so if you want to know whether your list... Are my hands fat?
Wait, yeah. Could you possibly just go off on a tangent any more than you just did?
Look at that. My hands look fat.
Oh, my God. And I can read your monitor and your glasses. Proceed, please.
My hands look... Do they look fat? I look...
Well, maybe you should grow a beard on your fingertips as well.
They're swollen.
Oh, the listeners won't even know about that. So Mr. Brewer has decided he's growing a beard so that he doesn't have a double chin. For the Vegas.
Correct. I would rather look like an old guy than have the double chins.
So if you masturbate a whole lot between now and then, maybe you'll get hairy palms and your fingers won't look fat.
No, I'm not saying like, are my hands fat normally? I'm saying right this moment, they look kind of swollen, like they're fat or something. I don't know.
So get on to what you were saying.
Later years of Perry Mason where he would put his hand and it just looked like he was wearing a glove because it was all swollen and like crinkly on top of it.
Oh, Lord.
Just trying to see if my hands look that way. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. If you have a list, that's a really good thing to check it with, is to identify somebody that you think is attractive that you would date, like let's say Anderson Cooper. And if they don't meet anything on your list, then perhaps your list is unrealistic.
I would date anyone who was fun to be around, intelligent, and attractive. And yes, there are always things that you find more attractive than others.
Wait. But you have to add to that list.
But I don't have a list.
Yes, you do.
No.
You have a list. They can't be overweight. They can't be older than you.
That's not true. I've dated people older than me. I have had boyfriends who were much older than me. One. But still, we were in a two-year relationship. I would date somebody older than me. I do not have concrete rules.
All right. So can we now transition?
I was trying to.
Before. I don't even know how to do that. All right, so what I wanted to talk about, I mentioned the last State of the Station because, that's what America needs is yet one more podcast with me on it. But I mentioned on State of the Station over Pride 48 that I think it would be a good idea to maybe sometime during the Vegas trip to get together and talk about what Pride 48 will be, right? Because really, when you get right down to it, what is Pride 48 right now?
When you put it in the list, I was like, man, it sounds like one of those negative things that someone says and you're just waiting to have the talk. You're like, the future of Pride 48. And I was like, man, what's he going to say?
Well, all right. So, but it's because right now Pride 48 is kind of directionless, right? So what is Pride 48? It's not a network, right? It's a place where shows can stream stuff. It's an event that we hold once a year, but there's no cohesive vision. There's no, what is it we want to do with this thing? Because I think we could actually do a lot of really good stuff with Pride 48 that don't involve, live streaming or doing a live event, right? At the core of Pride 48 is a collection of GLBT and GLBT friendly podcasts. So what I wanted to talk with people about in Vegas, and I'm just bringing this up now to kind of like get people, if you're listening to this, consider this kind of like, you know, the cheat sheet before the talk. It's what I want to talk about is what can we do, right? What kind of tools do we need to put in place to facilitate being more like a network, being more like a collection of shows all the time and outside of the realm of live streaming or whatever. But all right, so like to give you an example, and I know I'm kind of all over the road, but to give you an example, all right, so you take any given show on, let's say, Twit, right, which Twit is a network, right, so it's the This Week in Tech is the name of the network. But if you take any show on that network, when the show first starts, they all start off the exact same way, which they start off with...
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Right. So they have a little network tag that they do at
the
beginning.
So it's branding.
Right. It's a branded thing where every show on the network all kind of starts the same way. And on top of that, they're all listed on the same website. So you could go to twit.tv and find all of the Twit shows, right? You don't have to go to separate different websites for every single show.
Well, I've said for a long time that I think you and I have sort of the same sort of vision that it would be like a Twit or some of the other podcast networks where our focus is on GLBT and GLBT friendly podcasts, right, who want a safe haven to produce, right, their craft, whatever you want to say. So, but I've always said we should have one feed where all of the shows go in that one feed. So somebody could subscribe and get all of the Pride 48 shows.
I think that's a mistake, but I do think that there should be a unified website. But I mean, those are the kind of things that I want to, and we're not going to solve this, right? I mean, what I want to prevent, because up until this point in time, Pride 48 oftentimes ends up being some kind of decision that you or I make or some kind of decision that Arthur makes that we had to make a decision and do it, right? I would really love to have Pride 48 be more community oriented, more other people doing things, other people taking on those responsibilities. And I'm not saying that there's not people out there willing to do it, because there are. There are a lot of people out there willing to do it. We're just not organized enough to get that out there. And so what I'm interested in is how do we make the tools? How do we do this? What is it? A, what is it we want to do? B, how do we put the tools and the infrastructure in place to do that? And that's, so there you go. So in Vegas, at some point in time, I want to meet with people who are interested in where Pride 48 is going to go and what we're going to be, to sit down and talk about it. It doesn't have to be hugely formal, right?
I want us all to become millionaires.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Well, damn it, why not?
That's just not going
to
happen.
I want to be able to sit here and do podcasts all day long and make money.
But
I would
love
to do that.
All right, but here's the thing. I think it is a very doable and a very attainable goal to be able to make money off of a podcast. I don't think it's an attainable goal to be able to make a lot of money off a podcast. But I do think, especially if we combine as a network, so that instead of us being a show that has 1,000 listeners every week or a show that has, 300 listeners every week, that we could be a network of shows that has 10,000 or 15,000 listeners every week. It doesn't really matter whether there's overlap in there or not. As long as we have bigger numbers like that, we could go to someone. We joke on this show about cheaploobs.com, right? But to be able to go to some kind of website or some kind of business that is interested in GLBT stuff, that we could do small little single ads on shows that want to participate and then split the money between those. It's not going to be a huge amount of money, but it might be enough to buy a new mixer that year, right? So like after 6 months, you might be able to make a few $100s and buy a mixer, and that would be great.
Right. And I want to say for the record, I love podcasting, and I never got into this thinking I was going to make a living. I was just making the statement that wouldn't we all like to be doing something we love for a living, you know, because some people are lucky and get to do something that they're really passionate about. And I think for a lot of us, we do podcasting because we're really passionate about it for whatever the reason may be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't really not. I mean, on some level, you're paying money to podcast, right?
Right.
Other than Mevio, which I don't count, but you know, if you're not going with Mevio, you're paying somebody monthly to host your files or to host your website at the very least, right? Even people that are Mevio have separate websites a lot of times that they're paying for each month. So, I mean, there is a cost involved in doing a podcast, and so people don't tend to do it if they don't care about it, so.
I would like Pride 48 to be the hub for GLBT podcasts. I would like us to pull in, you know, more of them and be the name for, if you think of gay podcasts, you think of Pride 48.
Okay, but here's the problem with that, Adam, is that this is why this needs to be thought out and planned and designed to do that, because otherwise you end up with a huge management problem. It's like, if we're going to throw the doors open wide, which is what I want to do, right? I have always said that it's a community resource and anybody can use it that wants to. But what I don't want to do is I don't want someone like Nessa or myself or Arthur to have to sit there and manage this of like, oh, okay, well, I have to put this person on a schedule. I have to put this. We need to use computers to automate these processes so that people can self-identify with it, right? So that if a show comes along and wants to be a part of Pride 48, that 19 people don't have to get involved in it, that you can go through the website, you could sign up and you can list your show and say, oh, I'm going, you know, I want to identify with this.
I do have to say, and I agree with you that there shouldn't have to be as much management involved as maybe there is currently. But I do have to say there have been other quote unquote networks out there that have tried that sort of thing where just you could just go in and register yourself and no one really managed anything and it was just a hodgepodge of whatever and there was no real cohesiveness to it and they didn't succeed. So I think you need some sort of management as far as direction and branding and things of that nature.
Correct. But here's my point is that you shouldn't be so bogged down in the minutiae of the management that you can't do those vision things, right?
Right.
That's the problem that we run into now is that everything that we do right now is a hodgepodge, right? So we have to grab information from a bunch of different places. We have to send out group emails. We have to do a bunch of things. In order to cull these things together, which it really should be streamlined. It should be something that is self-managed from that standpoint so that we can work on the direction and the things. And just because you're associated with Pride 48 doesn't necessarily mean that you're willing to participate in any kind of advertising or that you're willing to do this. But at the same time, for those that want to do those kind of things, then we need to have some kind of structure in place to do that. And so that, without going on for too long, which I'm no too late, that is what I would like to talk about in Vegas.
It's okay. We're not live it up. We are not set at a 30-minute time limit. You can go as long as you'd like.
It's not even that. It's just I want to. All right, let me ask you this. And this is my fear, right? So like if we create something so that you could have a podcast site on Pride 48 so that, let's say that we were dubiousintent.pride48.com or we were at pride48.com/dubiousintent. And that was our website, right? That was, it allowed us to post podcasts there. It had our comments and everything there. But it was part of the Pride 48 site. You know, I don't know how many podcasters are willing to do that. I don't know how many podcasters would be willing to say, oh, well, I'll put my site there. In other words, instead of paying extra places to host your files or whatever, it's like Pride 48 just hosts everyone's files, and Pride 48, you know, is the blog site. So I mean, that is the site where you post. Because one of my frustrations is there's so many different freaking websites that people have to remember to go to that people don't comment on shows a lot of time because they have to remember to go to this website and then they have to remember to go down and comment to it, and if you had a central place for people to go where all the shows were and they could comment on things like that, I think you would get a lot more community interaction.
I think that's a possibility. I think some people would feel like they lose their show identity if they completely host everything. I know from the beginning, I chose to go with a hosting company that I paid that was not a podcast hosting company, that was just a website hosting company, because I didn't want to be just another podcast on some service. You know, when I
right.
started,
but
podcasting.
there's a huge difference between being a Pride 48 podcast, if we were to go that route, and being just a random one of 1,000 podcasts listed on Libsyn or on, you know, Podbean or some general service like that. We do have a focus. I just don't know how many people would be willing to do that, or whether inherently podcasters are, you know, fiercely independent and don't want to do things like that.
I think it's a possibility. I think one thing that might have to be worked out is they could still have their own site somewhere if they really wanted to, but somehow just it be like just the exact same content as what's on the Pride 48 site somehow, like either, you know, a frame of some
sort, or I hate that shit.
And well,
I can't do that. No, I mean, I hate that shit as a producer. I hate that shit as someone who produces content, right? I hate having to post something on Libsyn and then turn around and go post the exact same fucking thing over on WordPress, blah, 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 because there's no software in place to manage that kind of thing.
No, I'm saying it would need to be an identical. You post it one place, but it could show up, you know, even if, well, I mean, one thing that someone could do is let's say I wanted to have my own URL. All you would have to do for that is register your own URL, but point it to your Pride 48 right. page. So you could still have your own identity as far as URL, right?
Right.
Or still have dubiousintent.com, but you could just point it to, and I think some people might be okay with that. I mean, they still have a site that they can point people to. But ultimately, though, I think the main thing is all of the features would have to be included that people are wanting to use on their individual sites so
right.
that they could feel comfortable completely moving over to that other, you know, that if they want to be able to post photos or if they want to be able to have, you know, their Twitter post pulled into that page, or if they want, you know, features that they would have on their own site would have to be available to some extent to get them to, you know, to move over.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but if we were to develop our own software like that, then it would be for podcasts. And because that's a lot of the problem right now is that a lot of the tools out there and everything aren't for podcasts. They're for bloggers. They're for, you know, other specialty type of cases. Like you look at like FeedBurner right now, it's like those numbers in FeedBurner are completely designed for bloggers, right?
Right.
Oh, you have 12 subscribers, but you had, you know, 600 downloads. Well, it's like, well, wait, how did I have 600 downloads but only 12 subscribers? It's all based off of some blogger model of, you know, whether or not they subscribe through an RSS reader or something. And, you know, there's no separate thing inside of FeedBurner to handle what a listener is. And then when you get right down to that, of the services that track these things, they all define listeners differently, right? Like, what is a listener? Is that a downloaded podcast? Or is it a downloaded podcast from a unique IP address? Or is it something else, you know, entirely different? Now we're just gone off into the weeds, and it's completely uninteresting to anyone. But
we're in the weeds.
Anyway, so that's what we want to talk about. And well, that's what I want to talk about in Vegas at some point with people is the future of Pride 48. Because I think there's some great things that we can do, but I think a lot of those things that would be great that we could do really do involve us creating an infrastructure to do that and then having people willing to participate in that infrastructure.
So here's my question for you. Once we do all this great stuff, can we get a corporate voicemail sounding woman to do a gay podcast you love from people you want to fuck? This is Pride 48.
Possibly. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying.
I don't know.
She sounds like somebody you'd hear on a voicemail, you know, press one.
Right. That's Amber MacArthur that does that, though.
Oh, is it really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Huh. It's Leo and Amber. We could ask Amber to do it. Wait, she doesn't know us, you know, but.
I just thought it was like, I listen to her all the time and I didn't know that was her, but anyway.
The news.
I just want to say I don't know if these are any good because I did not choose them. So if anyone is unhappy with the news stories this week, it was not me.
Whatever. You know, you should never, ever start off a segment by going, well, this is going to suck.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that you chose the news stories. A seemingly intoxicated... Wait. How do you... Why? What?
Why?
I mean, why? How would you... How would a moose look intoxicated?
It was walking squirrely.
Okay, let me start over. A seemingly intoxicated moose has been discovered entangled in an apple tree by a stunned Swede.
Yes.
Per Johansson says he heard a roar from his vacationing neighbor's garden in southwestern Sweden late Tuesday and went to have a look. There he found a female moose kicking about in the tree. The animal was likely drunk from eating fermented apples. With the help of police and rescue services, the 45-year-old Johansson later managed to set the moose free in part by sawing off tree branches. But the animal appeared confused and wandered into Johansson's garden where she was still resting Thursday.
Yes. So it was a drunk moose running through the lady's trees and eating the apples.
What tips you off? I mean, you know, I mean, was it actually, vomiting on the, you know, on the side of the tree or the fact that it was in a tree? How did a moose get in a tree?
What tipped them off, I believe, was the sound. Let's say drunk moose. There is an interview here. Would you like to hear the interview?
I would love to hear the interview.
Yeah, and are you just being silly? Would love to hear the...
Inquiring minds want to know, Daniel. We need the full story here. We really need the full story, and I'm trying to vamp here while you pull this up.
I have to wait for the fucking ad to finish first. Would you like to hear about the new Buick?
It was going to be so smooth as well.
The new Buick, which is the car of choice for drunk mooses, I guess. Or meese? Mooses. Drunk mooses. Meese?
This week I have worked in the evening and I come home. I hear a scream, a type of scream, you know. And maybe thought it was a neighbor who yoking with me or something.
It was the neighbor yoking with
yoking,
him.
Yes.
Yoking, going, rrr.
I check around, I didn't see anything, and I walk once more a few steps to my house, and I hear this scream again. And I wonder, what is it? I take a few steps into my neighbor's garden, and I see something in the tree, in one of the apple trees, and it was a moose.
It was a moose.
In the tree. Three legs in the air, and only one who sparkling in the ground. It looks terrible. I was a little bit afraid about this. And what should I do? What can I do? What's happening? I called the police. And the police sent a local hunter. And they pulled up.
Hunter, as opposed to Gunter. Had this been in Germany, they would have sent Gunter. Anyway, so there you go. That's how you know that there's a drunk moose in your vineyard.
What did he do? I mean, like, he held up, you know, his Android phone up to the moose and turned on the, like, voice search and, mm-hmm. you know, let it scream a couple of times into the thing. And then right. Google came up with drunk moose.
Do you have a drunken moose?
He's yes. like, wow, I didn't realize Android was that advanced.
There you go.
I keep thinking of Rocky and Bullwinkle for some reason. I'm just wondering if there was like a squirrel with like one of those, you know, flight caps, you know, on its head standing next to it, you know, saying,
hey, Rocky, watch me pull this fermented apple out of my ass.
Yeah, whatever. This is small print again. Woo. I really can't see. Wow, that must have been some party. A news weatherman spoke up in a friend's hot tub next to a naked dead. I'm sorry, let me start over. A news weatherman woke up in a friend's hot tub. He woke up in a friend's hot tub next to a naked dead man who was wearing a dog collar after a long night of partying. Radar yes. Online has learned that is some Grindr gone wrong. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
That is.
It's a bizarre incident that mom.
You think it's a bizarre incident?
You know, I'm surprised because you chose this because it's in Arkansas, didn't you?
I'm just saying the way that they wrote it, it's like this bizarre incident. Really? You think it's bizarre? Really? The guy waking up in a hot tub with a dead guy with a dog collar on?
It's a bizarre incident that Maumelle, Arkansas authorities are trying to unravel involving KARK4 news meteorologist Brett Cummins. Oh, his last name is Cummins. And the deceased, Dexter Williams. According to the police report, Cummins, 33, brought Williams, he's actually kind of cute, with him to John somebody's house on Monday night, where the three of them drank and engaged in illicit drug use. And somebody
illicit drug use.
And somebody ended up dead in the hot tub.
In the hot tub.
That was in Arkansas. So,
but no, that wasn't the part of the story that wasn't the part of the, you got to keep reading the story, because when they woke up the next day and found the dead guy, like, one of them left and like, oh, I'll be back.
Well, it says Barber then stated that three of them shared drinks in the jacuzzi before he retired to the living room and fell asleep on the couch, leaving Cummins and Williams in the hot tub. Dexter's head was lying behind Brett's left shoulder, Barber told police on the report. After Brett awoke, they discovered that Dexter was not conscious and his face was a different color. The report states that Cummins was horrified and left Barber's home, promising to come back later.
I screamed like a girl
Brett
and I left.
Brett screamed and became ill and left the bathroom and vomited on the carpet in the living room.
Okay, now, honestly, now at no point during this story do they mention that these are gay men, but honestly, one of them like screamed and left the house and the other one vomited on the floor. So I think...
Well, he's a weatherman, first of all. I mean, what weatherman is not gay? Or in the closet, one of the two. And I mean, if you look at the picture, it's obvious that he's gay.
I have to leave. I have to go do a weather report thing. I'll be back. I'll be back to the dead body in a minute. Right after these words.
Well, you know, on the bright side of that, we have that whole new liquefaction thing that they can use on the dead body. So
they could have gotten rid of it. And
So birthdays this week. Do we have a birthday song?
You know what? We have that birthday song, that Dora thing, but I'm not happy with that. It takes too long to get to the part.
Okay, well, we'll just go. Birthday. Well, you can, for next week.
No, I'm going to find it.
Oh, you're
going to
find it now?
I'm going to find a different version of Happy Birthday.
Well, we've done a lot of vamping in this show while we found audio clips. Oh, you know what I was going to suggest to you, Mr. Audio Nazi Perfectionist Person? If you pre-record the stuff that you're going to play on the show, we don't have to deal with ads.
Yeah, but a lot of times I'm just looking for things on the fly, and I don't, I like to have a certain amount of freedom, you know, a certain amount of
frivolity,
off the cuff kindness to the.
Well,
to
you
the
know,
show.
We wouldn't want to sound too overproduced. I mean, you know,
if there's one thing that sucks, it's an overproduced podcast.
I mean, we certainly are at risk of that at this point.
No, we're not. So let's see. We'll just go with this. All right, whose birthday is it?
All right, so this week, roughly, Dr. Phil turned 61.
And Charlie, how do you feel about that?
Charlie Sheen turned 46.
He's a winner.
This person is dead, but would have turned 93.
Now you know the rest of the story. Paul Harvey.
Good day.
Good day.
The master of the Sashura.
Yes, Paul Harvey would have been 93. Bob Newhart turned 82.
Yes.
This person here turned 53 this week.
If you've been on television more than five times describing what the tornado sounded like, you might be a redneck.
I believe that's
If you've ever cut your grass and found a car, you might be a redneck.
Anyway, that's Big Fatty. That is definitely Big Fatty. Happy birthday, Big Fatty.
Jeff Foxworthy turned 53. And last but not least, this diva turned 62 this week.
Liberace?
No.
First I was afraid. I was petrified. Kept thinking. I could never live without you by
that
my
dude
side.
From Priscilla, so Queen of the Desert.
No. It's the actual singer.
It's gotta be a drag queen. No one actually ever sang this song. It's just
Gloria
people lip-synced
Gaynor.
This song. No, there's no real singer of this song. It's just this is a song that drag queens lip sync to all the time.
Okay, the actual singer was Gloria Gaynor.
No, there is no actual singer. It's a computer-generated song. There is no actual singer.
Well, anyway, she turned, 62 this
sure,
week. So happy birthday, Gloria.
Happy birthday, computer-generated voice.
That's all I have to say about that. There's a YouTube video with her on there. I think I've seen her in person. I think she was at Southern Decadence. It's a real person.
She's a real person.
So that was all of the news and everything. So I forgot to mention something.
Don't we have stuff?
Did you want to do that first? Okay. Well, yeah, it's brief. Our contact this week, we really...
Wait!
What?
I do a theme song for that.
Oh, sorry.
And I can't use the... See, we were using this, right? We were using a...
Ring, 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 banana phone.
But nobody fucking calls our voicemail number ever. We don't even have a freaking voicemail. So we can't use that. So I decided, since you like to call it contact, so I searched through the archives of my childhood, and I've not played this yet because I was just queuing it up while you were babbling on about some news story that I wasn't listening to. So here, I was going to play this instead.
So for our contact this week,
it's the theme song to 3-2-1 Contact from PBS.
Very good. That was a long lead up to that vocal.
I didn't know.
Well, now we don't. There's not much in the way of an email to read, but we did get two emails that were related to Doobie's Intent Plus. First of all, Casey in Denver just basically said, "Hey, Adam, here's the Anderson Cooper schoolgirl giggle for you. I took out all of the talking parts, and it's 36 seconds long." So the Anderson Cooper giggle that I've got now was done by Casey and not by me. But wasn't that nice of him?
It was. Thank you, Casey.
I mean, he edited that whole thing. So thank you, Casey. And then the other one that I got was another actual another project that someone did on our behalf. So there wasn't, again, much of an email. Actually, there was no email at all with this one as far as text. But Larry Queen.
Yes.
Q-Sledge.
Yes. From the Brainhammer podcast.
Actually created a graphic because evidently we talked about, I don't know, we talked about sex last week and I must have said something about, or you must have said,
listen to our show,
I
do.
I do, but
you
they all
don't
went together.
Even listen to our fucking show.
So evidently we said something about free sex you must have mentioned me wearing it on a shirt. So he created a really cute graphic. Mm-hmm. Of like, did he send it to you?
Yes, he did.
Oh, okay. So of like a name badge that says, "Hello, my name is," and it says Adam Burns, but it's marked out, and underneath it, it says free sex. So,
right. "Hello, my name is free sex."
So thank you for that, Larry. And I want to say that that's perfect because I'm going to make a couple of t-shirts for myself because the Pride 48 shirt that I'm also going to buy is those sizes are not going to be, I want to look a little bit sluttier than that for the Pride Parade. And the sizes will be too large. Even small shirts hang down to my knees. So my art project to get ready for Pride 48 weekend in Vegas is I bought some boys t-shirts because I have to buy boys t-shirts when I want them to fit a certain way. And
right.
So I bought some iron-on transferable stuff, and I'm going to print out the Pride 48 logo and stuff, or the shirt, and then I'm also going to print out this thing that he created, and I'm going to put that on a separate shirt so that I'll have some stuff to wear.
The "Hello, my name is Free Sex."
Yes.
Now, I just, again, while you were going on there and I wasn't listening because apparently I'm an asshole, but this is what I do. I multitask, right? I would just like to draw your attention just to this small little clip of last week's show. Pay special attention to who exactly it is that said free sex, because you're trying to say that I did this.
No, I said free sex. I remember that.
That's what she said. It was you. Let's get to the end of this program here. Let's say. was written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons.
Right.
Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2DI+. That's 2x2DI+.
That's an amazing exit of a show. That sounds really professional.
AdamBurns.uk. Both of them end in @gmail.
Isn't it really meta to be listening to our show inside of our show?
And you could probably find Adam on Twitter or Facebook or MySpace or gay.com or any one of those old technologies that I no longer use.
You really blather on and on. Can I just say something?
Yes.
Sex.
Sex. No, you can't say that. You are being stifled.
That's all I want to say.
All right.
I'm going to make a poster. Free the sex.
Just take the out of it, and then your poster is just going to say free sex.
That's where it came from.
Yeah, but see, I said free the sex, and you said take the out of it. So it was a collaboration between the two of us.
Well, there you go, but it wasn't all my fault. And so that is all the email that we got this week.
That was it, but I mean, you know, that at least... they put in a lot of effort. I mean, that was an art project and an audio editing from the two. So I'm really appreciative of that.
I am, while I am very appreciative of both Casey and Larry for going above and beyond the call of duty and expressing themselves artistically to us, and thank you very much. We do appreciate that beyond belief. However, the rest of you people, can you not pick up a fucking phone and just call a damn number?
We even had somebody say that he thought the number was incorrect, and you Twittered him back or G-plussed him whatever and said, yes, that's correct, and like confirmed the number, and he still didn't leave a voicemail.
I
won't call that person out or anything.
Well, you just did, but...
Well, no, I didn't say who it was.
All right. So just real quick, like a bunny, we're not doing a show next week because 1 week from today, we will actually be in the City of Sin in the Lost Wages, Nevada. So we will be doing a show. Our live streaming show will be on Saturday, September 17th at 8 p.m. Eastern time is the big dubious intent shoe on Pride 48. So make sure that you catch that.
Are we recording that? Are we not putting it out?
Oh, yeah, you know, we are recording and putting it out, but normally our show posts before Saturday. So next week will be late because we're not actually going to record the show until Saturday evening.
Really? The show posts before Saturday? Normally it's like midnight my time on Friday night. So it's generally, but yeah, it'll be later.
I'm just saying. So it will next be later. Next week, there won't be a show before the big Vegas extravaganza. So if you were planning on listening to us on your way to Vegas, you know, sorry.
Save this one. Oh, wait, you've already listened to this one by this point.
Right.
So.
Maybe I should just repost something from the Dubious Intent archives.
Right.
Right.
Maybe you should do that.
Okay, good.
So that people can listen to it and they won't feel. But then like Alden and Anne and all, you know. All of those would be in there, and I just don't know, you know, I don't want to compete with them. People will go back and like
I could play the know. That week of I could recreate that week of Dubious Intent where we had you on as a guest.
Was I on?
Yeah, remember we did the week of 20-minute shows.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Well, I mean, the problem with having on the old shows, everybody will be nostalgic about Alden and Anne, and then they'll be like, you know, what's the real point of Adam? I mean, what does Adam do? And then the response is just going to be really, you know, well, he grips stuff.
Dubious Intent was written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2DI+. That's 2BY2DI+. Not an X. Don't use the X. The X is bad. You can also send us an email. I'm Daniel J. Brewer. He is AdamBurns.uk. Both of them end at gmail.com. You can find me on Google+, the sleek automobile of technology. And you can find Adam on any of those old steam-powered systems like Twitter and Facebook and shit like that. So.
You know...
I was trying to play the exit, and you were playing the exit, and so who knows what's going to happen.
Should we get an email address that's, like, more recognizable instead of giving both of ours? Like, you guys have liveitup@gmail.com. We, you know, we could...
But that goes to Wes.
No, I know, but I'm just
saying. We'll talk about it.
Whatever. Okay. Well, for Daniel, I'm Adam.
I hate that. Free sex.
Bye.